Hey, welcome to On The Mic. Today on the show, national TV host from Channel 10's The Loop, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out Of Here, Whack the World Animal Championships, and my favourite, Prank Patrol. With a little help from the lovely Bianca and her hooter, I pulled a couple of pranks myself. This fake coughing is all part of it. If you're listening to the podcast on iTunes, you can watch my YouTube channel or Facebook, / Mike Goldman Live. And don't forget to subscribe. G'day, welcome to On The Mic. My name is Mike Goldman. This very good-looking young man in front of me is a bit of a legend. You're probably looking at his face going, yeah, that guy, where do I know him from? Well, instead of just reading out his bio and saying these amazing things about him, we're going to play a game called Seedy or Tweety.
Ooh.
And every time it's you, Tweety, say Tweety.
Tweety.
And every time it's Seedy, say Seedy.
Seedy.
Okay, cool. The guy who hosts The Loop.
Tweety.
Fish milkshakes.
Seedy, absolutely.
Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, Seedy, but I wouldn't mind his brain, his production brain.
Wouldn't mind his money either.
Although not that part of the brain, the other half.
Not the handsy. Not the I want to have a shower and you watch me part
Seedy.
Of the brain.
That's Seedy, Seedy, Seedy.
A little bit weird. The host of Prank Patrol.
Tweety. Tweety. But what we did was sometimes Seedy.
Harry Backs.
Seedy.
Hosting the World Animal Championships.
Tweety.
That's you. A lemon.
Seedy.
Different kind of Seedy.
Yeah.
Thought I'd throw it in there. Studio 10 reporter.
Yeah, Tweety sometimes.
A Brisbane boy. Brisbane, Brizzy boys.
Tweety.
Goldman, yes. Bin juice.
Seedy. You know what was Seedy? Your night last night.
Oh. Not washing your hair.
I wash my hair sometimes, but yeah. Seedy, Tweety.
I read online you hate washing your hair.
Who? Oh, mate, you've gone back in the archives too far.
I went way back in the archives. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out Of Here.
Well, I host a Facebook show, Tweety.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
you host the show.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Bad teeth.
Seedy, Tweety.
Farts.
Seedy. Farts.
Sometimes.
Seedy. Oh, we all fart. Come on.
And he's on the mic right now. It's Scott Tweety, ladies and gentlemen.
Mikey Goldman. How good is this? Do you remember the first time we ever met? I bet you don't.
No.
All right.
Oh, just no. Was it at the Arias?
No.
No.
It was in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Okay. I was driving this guy around in a Nova car in one of the Sandmans. And I had to come to your house. You lived in Bulimba.
Yeah.
I had to pick you up and take you to a car wash. I can't remember what we were doing there, but you were doing a live cross for Ash, Kip and Lutzy. So that was, you wouldn't even remember that.
What was that all about?
I don't know. I was like 21. I was a uni student getting $25 an hour. I was probably hungover. Had to pick up the guy that hosts Big Brother. And it was amazing. But that's when we first met. Oh, shit. What the? Is there someone behind you? How did you do that?
Yay!
Oh, my God.
That's Bianca.
Hey, Bianca.
Hi.
Good to see you. So you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. Can you hurry up and do the air horn gag? That's good. I only swore a little bit.
Well, yeah, Prank Patrol. If you're listening to this on the podcast going, what the fuck just happened? Well, Bianca was hiding behind a big picture and my girlfriend, and she just jumped out with a hooter and made a hell of a lot of noise.
That was hooked up to your other housemate next door and he did that. And I was like, how good's the production of this place? You know, I was at an exchange when I was in grade 10 in America, and I partied one night and I was sleeping in a basement and the American guys came in. There was me and another Australian guy. We're asleep.
Yeah.
And they came in, shut the door, pitch black, and then had an air horn and just pressed it for like 2 minutes. Do you know how scary it is when you wake up, you cannot see shit, how loud this is. It's the scariest, like, ever. Mate, I'm going to get you back with this.
I'm sure you are. So we met back to where we were. We met in the Nova Sandman. You picked me up from the car wash, or took me to a car wash for a Nova Cross.
Yeah, you're doing something live.
You know Lutzy. So Lutzy's breakfast announcer in Brisbane on the Ash, Kip and Lutzy show. He did work experience with me when I was doing nights at Triple M in Brisbane.
So you were on air nights. He was like your work experience
13 or 14 year old kid came in and we're having a few drinks.
Well, how much older are you than him?
Well, I'm 46, turning 46.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Shit.
I'm getting on.
Nah, it's getting better as we get older.
Need some work done or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyone out there running one of those clinics, come in and inject me live on air.
We can plug you as well.
So that was a while ago. So Brizzy boy.
Yep.
Yeah, you love Queensland, state of origin, Broncos. How much of a Brizzy boy are you?
I'm out west. I grew up in Mount Ominey, which is very west.
Mount Ominey. Yeah. Oh my god, I had a girlfriend from out there. That's getting bogan.
It's getting west. But then I went to school. It's on the way. It's on the way there. Yeah. But it's still on the Brown Snake. It's up near the Gingerly end of the Brown Snake. But yeah, I went to school in the city, so that sort of centralized me a bit more. Did university there, worked at Nova, and then got my first gig when I was 21 and moved to Melbourne.
Oh, that's cool, man. And yeah. So what happened with the radio? You just went, okay, stop this radio. I'm a good-looking man. I need to be seen. Get me on the TV.
Mate, I was keen for anything, as we all were when we started in media. I had learned how to panel, but I probably got 80% of the way there, and then that's when this ABC gig came up. So then I started actually going and filming at music festivals for Nova. So the breakfast team would want to do the headline acts. And then I was like, well, who's going to interview all the Aussie bands? Like, can I do Cut Copy? Can I interview X, Y, and Z? And they're like, yeah, sure. But the reason I did that was to get free tickets to the festival. Ooh. So my friend was the camera guy. My other mate was the sound guy. My other friend was the producer. So four of us, we'd work for half an hour, work. I don't think any of them made it online ever. Ooh. And then we were just there, a big day out, work, good vibrations, all the festivals. It was great. You're right. Oh my god.
Oh my.
No, mate, that's you gotta get better fake blood than that.
Stop recording.
Have you spent your whole day going to gag stores?
And that's gag number two.
In this room anymore. What is that?
No, nothing. What is that? I promise there's no more gags.
You know how to execute a good prank though. You gotta invest me into doing something. Oh.
Sorry, I was pretending to cough since you got here.
Was that part of the act?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm coughing during the interview. Oh,
I thought you just had a big night.
I did have a big night, but...
So what you got to do, you got to get me to do something accidentally, which then I feel terrible about doing. Right now, you've just hit me with the air horn. Great. Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. So you need to teach me how to do better pranks.
Eventually.
But we'll get to pranks very shortly. I want to talk about the amazing gig. It's a dream gig. It's probably up there with Travel Presenter, going around to all these concerts and filming yourself backstage and hanging out with the bands. How freaking awesome would that
be? It's the best. And that, but now that's led to my job at Channel 10. So I started doing that at Nova. Then that led to going to ABC, doing pranks and whatnot. But then now it's led again to being on the loop for the last 7 years, which is amazing.
Yeah, so you're like a young Richard Wilkins. Well, Richard Wilkins, I think he only hangs out with the guy that plays the violin backstage, André Rieu. Oh, yeah. Because he's almost 70, so he's still got it. He still does a great job. I mean, Richard Wilkins is an icon, but you know, you're the young guy, up and comer.
It's a lot of fun. And you got to be patient, though, because both Richard and Angela... are very good at what they do. Yeah. They know everyone. And watching how hard those two work is amazing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Is Angela just like, oh, no, that's my interview. Oh, does she ever like, no, step back here. You're in my territory now.
No, she just gets that because she's done it for so long. Yeah. So every red carpet you go on, she's got the Angela Bishop Channel 10 area.
Yeah, okay.
And then Dickie's got the Channel 9 area. But that's because they know everyone. Yeah. They almost run it.
Yeah, it's like their own little grandstand.
Yeah.
So who's the best backstage party that you've been to?
Oh, I think the Arias every year.
Really?
I
think the Arias are boring.
That's because you're not going to the right party.
The Aria party, but the actual event is just...
No, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I got to do 4 years ago. Mm. I hosted the...
I haven't been for a while. Maybe it's different now.
Yeah, I think you got two types of people that go there. The people that are just too cool for it and they don't invest in it. And then everyone else who has a good time. Mm. And maybe it's because I'm just a lover of Australian music that I go there and absolutely love everyone. You know, like you're backstage, John Butler Trio's there. The next thing, the INXS boys are there. Then the next thing, there's like Kylie Minogue might walk in. And it's like all these people back
so
to back.
Cool, yeah. And you just run out to them having a drink with them. Hey, yeah. You might have interviewed them once and they're trying to remember who you are. They saw your face.
They're like, who's this dude?
Next thing you know, you're drunk and giving them a hug and trying to get a selfie, pretending like you're best friends.
But that's it. And then you go bouncing between all the parties and you always want to end up at the Universal one, which is at the Intercontinental upstairs. And my name... to this date, hasn't been on the list. I don't know. I work in music TV, but it's such a hard party to get onto, but I'll always get in there. You go there with a mate or you just talk your way in.
So I did more than talk my way into one of those parties there was a very exclusive party with Fatboy Slim playing years and years ago.
Band of the 90s. You know, the beginning of the track when he goes, Fatboy Slim. That guy kicks ass.
I don't know if you were at that party or you remember it, but it was, I think it might
have been
Universal. It was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And everyone wanted a ticket at this party, and only program managers and bosses of TV networks are the people who got in. And a mate of mine, his name is Michael Jordan. He's not around anymore. It's seriously his name. He was a Thunder driver from Brisbane.
Yeah.
And his program manager of the radio station, I can't remember what his name was, but said, do you mind going back to my hotel and picking up my pass so I can get into this Fatboy Slim party? And I said, dude, we can take it to Kinko's and we could photocopy this pass and we could just give them all out to our friends. So we did. We took it and we laminated and everything. We did the photocopy front and back, and we got about 10 of us into the Fatboy Slim party, like free drinks, food.
Where was it?
And we were so pumped. It was, I think it was the Intercontinental Hotel.
Yeah.
But it might have been the, I'm pretty sure it was, yeah. It was, God, there's so, long. This is like 15 years ago.
You know, you would have put that much effort in, but they would have just let you in straight away glance at it.
No, but they didn't even look at it. But when we got there, we got into the party and Fatboy Slim's playing, and it was the most shit party we've ever been to.
Because when he DJs, though, he doesn't play. He just goes...
Yeah. No, but he was great. But there was no girls, no people ready to party and have a good time. It was all these...
All the suits.
Sotty old suits that were there. Oh, who's this old chap again playing all these songs over there? Fatboy Slim. I think we play his songs. We left. So we went to all that effort. The most exciting thing about that one night was the fact that we got in by photocopying passes. And I'm not saying that you should do that, by the way.
A lot of people now do it for Coachella.
I'm not encouraging
jumping
fraud.
Fences isn't great, but when you get in for free, it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Why the hell not?
And it's funny when you say that, because a lot of these industry events we go to, they're actually like... I still reckon I'm an everyday punter being in there, and I love it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people just get over it, and they don't even enjoy the night. Bublé played last week.
Yeah.
For Smooth FM, and like 80% of the crowd was all clients and program directors and all those sort of people.
Yeah.
20% of the crowd were winners.
Yeah.
He gets out there, performs his first song, and he was just like, what's with you guys? He goes, have you all been punching bongs? He's like, what's going on? For the next 10 minutes, got everyone up and jumping. And he was like, look, I want you dancing. I want you doing this, doing that. He goes, break the facades. Let's get into it. And then it was the best performance ever, which is why, hands down, I reckon he's one of the best performers I've ever seen to date.
Yeah, he's so cool. I remember I saw the Four Tops and the Temptations at the Hilton Hotel. And it was like really hoity-toity kind of event. And they had tables and it was a dinner thing. And they said, this room needs a kick in the ass. Why don't you all stand up right now, push the tables back against the wall and the chairs. We don't need those tables. You're eating your dinner. Get down here. Let's party. And everyone just went, yeah, all right. And like people are turning tables over and shit, and security's running around going, no, don't do that. And the place just went nuts.
But you need someone like that because especially Sydney, I don't know about...
Yeah, Sydney crowds are hard to get going.
Everyone's sort of got their guard up, but everyone's there to work. And like, it just... But when you can loosen up a Sydney crowd, then they go wild.
Yeah, like I do the Sydney Kings courtside announcing. And sometimes to get the crowd going, and a lot of people coming to basketball for the first time now that Andrew Bogut's in the team straight from the NBA. But once we get them going, it's awesome. But people are so used to being at home watching Netflix or going to the cinema or whatever. You've got to remind them that they're at a live event, and you've got to make noise, and you got to wave $1,000. Like, we had $100,000 up for grabs on Saturday night. And I was like, do you want to win $100,000? And you literally have to shake people because they look at you like, are you real? It's like,
but we're bad at that. I think as Aussies, like, you go to America and you go to the UK and they're just nuts. We almost need to train everyone again as a society how to be a good live crowd.
Yeah. Where do you think are the best live crowds in Australia? Because you go to all the concerts. Would it be Melbourne?
Melbourne. Brizzy's pretty good. A lot of bands, because I listen to what bands have to say because I'm not up on stage. And they say the Tivoli is one of their favourite venues.
They love
the Tivoli and Brizzy. I don't know. Melbourne, though, Melbourne is just invested in everything. They are, because they love sports so much and they are just, passionate. Sydney, I don't know. I've been to a lot of gigs at the Enmore where it's going off. So
yeah, the Enmore is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hosted an event there 2 weeks ago, actually. The crowd went nuts. They had a whole heap of Australian bands do covers of Elton John songs for the Variety Club of Australia.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was a great crowd. Everyone went nuts. But I think Sydney's got some good venues, but Melbourne's probably got the better ones. But Sydney's nightlife is pretty dead at the moment.
Dead. When I moved here 7 years ago, it was on fire. The King's Cross was amazing. Yeah. I couldn't get over it. The amount of beautiful women and like just people partying everywhere. Now it's like, what the hell do you do?
Yeah.
Obviously, you go to Double Bay or you go to Bondi, but then it's like done by 1 o'clock and it's actually really sad. And it's really sad when I have some like, I'm going to call them clients, but you have like artists in town, right? And they're like, hey, let's go out midweek. And you're like, yeah, sweet, I'll take you out. I've got no idea where to go.
Yeah, you got to go back to their hotel room after and try and talk the downstairs room service into giving you some drinks. It is really embarrassing. It's such a shame.
I did march for both those Keep Sydney Open.
Yeah.
Because I'm passionate, not so much about me. I've just turned 30, so I've had great years here in Sydney.
Yeah,
but for the poor guys that are 21, 22, 23, when I was out there having the best nights of my life, creating life stories.
Yeah.
What are they doing now?
Yeah, it sucks. Well, I think they're having like their own private parties.
Yeah.
And they're going to events that are organized in secret Facebook groups. Like there's one, I think, this weekend called Secret Picnic or something like that. And you don't know where the party is until someone sends you a text message.
But that's good for a one-off. Yeah. But every weekend, you want just
and you
want to
bring people to the city and you want to say, hey, let's go to this amazing bar and this amazing restaurant. And we've got the Ivy. The Ivy's amazing. But I think, you know, we've got a couple of, you know, Kent Street, there's a whole heap of new bars opening up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as the casino happens, I mean, because I think that's part of the reason why half the city was shut down.
Yeah.
That and because developers wanted to own the cost.
We should have, and once again, I was just in New York and I was so lucky to be there for 9 days just meeting my mates there. And it's obviously the best city in the world.
Yeah.
But just the pockets. We could have pockets of really cool bars here.
Yeah. Well, there's an article in the paper just on the weekends and it had a picture of a beer or a bottle of wine for all of the suburbs in Sydney that are not walking distance to a pub and like 20 minutes, half an hour away to actually get to a pub or a bottle shop. So we're not even just giving out those little licenses anymore. And I think that's going to change, hopefully.
Yeah.
So Prank Patrol, Prank Man.
Yeah, it was good. It was my first gig.
Awesome show.
Well,
is that your favorite show?
Well, yeah, because it was a great format. It's good shows are about good formats. And then it was like right place, right time. Working at Nova, I put in a tape just being myself, did 3 auditions, ended up out of 7,000 people making the top 10, flown to Sydney for a gig, didn't know what I was going to host yet. Yeah. Then from 10, it went to 5. And then the next day, they're like, can you move to Melbourne in a week to film this show, Prank Patrol? And I was like, what the hell is Prank Patrol? Looked it up, watched the British one.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really lame and really like cringy.
Yeah.
Because the format it's very kiddie.
Yeah.
But then I had an awesome director I worked with. And from day one, I'd never had a beta camera in front of me before in my life.
Oh, really?
Day one on set, we were filming in a hardware store in Melbourne. And I'm going, shit, I don't know what to do. What's going to happen next? And I was just really lucky that the director was just like, mate, you cannot be too cool. You've just got to let it go. Be yourself. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
And really invest. And we sort of built a character around me that I thought I was like awesome, but every single other person on the show thought I was a dickhead. So they were like, I'd be hanging out with like guys that, you know, have explosives, actors, all these sorts of people, and the kids as well.
Yeah.
And I thought I was the man, and they're all like behind my back to the camera going, what a loser. But I think that sort of leveled me out with the Aussie audience. So we did 3 series, 110 episodes.
Wow.
Our third series was pre-bought by the UK because it was more popular than their local version. So we were on BBC One at 3:30 in the afternoons, which is a great slot. And then CBBC as well. Until that royal prank happened when...
It turned to shit. Poor old Mel Gregg copped a lot of flack about that, and she didn't even want to do it.
It was a messy thing for everyone.
Yeah.
But then, so we got pulled off air because any word prank in the UK media was just, you know, seen as in the naughty corner. You couldn't touch it. So
it's a shame. They've ruined it for everyone. I mean, we're in the day of getting offended and everyone's, you know, quick to be a social justice warrior and get offended by everything. So now you can't even pull a prank unless you're doing a silly kiddie one like the ones I just did.
Yeah, no, they had a lot of fun. But what happened was we did that many episodes and we were definitely done. I was definitely sort of ready to move out of kids' TV then because you get trapped in it. So I was ready just to join the queue of the great line of Aussies that are doing adult TV and working my ass off for now the last 7 years. And I'm still here, want to be here.
No, but you've got a massive fan base from that show that still message you all the time. I see
that's
your Instagram feed is saying, when's Prank Patrol coming back?
Well, that's it because they've all grown up now. So they all were...
Want adult
core
pranks.
Demo was 8 to 12-year-olds, right? But now that was 7, 8 years ago. So now they're like 21, 22, 23. And they all just... We go film at Groove and the Move for the Loop, trying to do music show links. And it's just ridiculous because all they want to do is, Prank Patrol. Meanwhile, the camera guys are going like, what the hell is Prank Patrol?
Yeah.
So there's a great core audience there now, which is, you know, my mission in the next sort of 2 to 3 to 4 years is to convince... I work at 10 at the moment.
Yeah, and convince Channel 10 to put it back on.
They're investing a lot in me and what I do. Yeah. So I just need to now prove to them that this will be a great format. Now, I don't think it will be Prank Patrol again, because that was a very much a kid's format, but hidden camera stuff, having a lot of fun. There's a lot of Too Far stuff at the moment on YouTube. There's lots of pranks on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they seem to be the most popular videos. Everyone wants to see them.
It's in our DNA as Aussies. We're all smart.
We're pranksters. Why can't we do that more?
Yeah, I agree.
I want to see it. So what's the worst prank that you've done where it's gone wrong? It didn't actually come off, or someone broke a leg or something?
All right, let's just put this out there. 110 episodes, we got caught 3 times.
Oh, okay.
So we were pretty good.
But what, like failed? Like someone said, oh, come on, this is a prank. It's a crock of shit.
Well, yeah, after they all... When we got caught, they were in the third series, because once kids knew about the show, so we were like, you know, we had to up our game with hidden cameras. But these three boys, we pranked, we pretended there were aliens in the backyard, and they were just, they went out to dinner, they had Coca-Colas, they were high as a kite, they're like 11-year-old, 12-year-old boys.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in the control room. Mind you, this is the first episode that our ABC commissioner had come on set to watch how it worked.
Oh, no.
And this is the one we got busted. So we're there in an OB truck.
Yeah.
There's like 30 camera screens everywhere. And you just see one of them, this kid, pick it up. And it was like hidden in like a speaker of like a radio system.
Yeah.
And you just see his face on the screen and shake it. And he goes, this is Prank Patrol. And we're like... Now, mind you,
Busted. We
spent $80,000 per episode, so we had to make an episode out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. $80,000. Wow.
Yeah, so look, out of all the other ones, it worked perfectly. There was a fine line between making Aussie kids and teens cry and getting good content.
Mm.
So we could always manipulate it. Like, we'd film the pranks live and then make 8 minutes, because it was a 24-minute show. 8 minutes of it was the prank part. And the beginning 2/3 was me meeting the kid and going, who do you want to prank? And then building the prank. And then so sort of like a backyard blitz style. It's like, build it, build it, build it. Here's the grand reveal.
So what's the biggest prank someone's pulled on you?
No one's got me good yet.
No one?
No, I'm waiting. I'm waiting every day. Okay, so...
All the years of doing the show.
The music show, they got me, but they could have just milked it. So what they did was, for the April Fool's week, they said Liv, who I work with normally, she was sick.
Yeah.
And they brought in Denise Drysdale to be the co-host.
Oh.
And so she hadn't read any of the scripts, and I was like, well, that's fine. I'll work the auto cue, be the anchor.
Yeah.
And she can just, you know, have little bits of input here and there. And then we did the opener to the show, and she just started like going off on little tangents, and I'm like, jeepers, how do I pull her back?
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where she just sort of cracked it and was just like, I can't do this. She's like, oh, they want me to be on the show to cross promote Studio 10, but she's like, I can't do this. And like, looking at me, and I'm like, no, Denise, this is fine. Like, you're doing a really good job. And I was like, seriously, just, I'll drive it and you can just have fun. Just sit there and have a good time. And she was like, she could have from that point really taken it to another level.
Really?
And that's when they all ran out like, we got you.
Oh,
and
I was
you did. I was invested. But you didn't get me to a point where, like...
That's an okay prank. They didn't get you good enough.
No.
Someone needs to really get... So if you're watching this right now...
I'm really gullible. And, like, I'm really invested in...
Well, you didn't believe the blood thing.
No, that looked like shit.
Because you'd already had a prank pull. Yeah, that wasn't...
Well, no, it just didn't look like red. You can tell the colour of blood.
Wasn't good fake blood, was it?
No, you got it from the $2 shop, didn't you?
Yeah. Absolutely. So what about the best prank?
Best prank is...
The most hits on YouTube.
We don't really put them on YouTube.
Hey, 'cause you only watch them on ABC.
Exactly.
I love watching the Ashton Kutcher show.
Punked.
I think Punked, yeah.
Amazing.
That went for years.
Yeah.
And they used to spend like $1 million on some of those episodes.
Where you
they
have
do
to
the
spend...
craziest stuff.
Best one we did was we had three teenagers in school, in a Melbourne school. They were about 13, 14 years old.
Yeah.
So we rehearsed on the Sunday, because obviously you cannot be in a school with cameras without the whole school losing their shit.
Yeah.
Rehearse on the Sunday, and then at 6 a.m. on the Monday morning, we had all our camera guys hidden in walls ready to go.
Mm.
These kids went to their normal classes. They got called out, and they were like, 1, 2, 3, 4. So there was three of them we were pranking and a girl who was pranking them. They got called into the computer room, and they're like, hey guys, look, just for the next hour and a half, we're just going to get you guys to test out. We got some different ideas for the Victorian state curriculum, and we just want to test it with you guys. Cool, yeah, sure, great. So we had an actress that was the teacher, and she was like, look, can you log into the computers here, into the government website? And then her login wasn't working on the big screen. So she quickly calls up and goes, my login's not working. So writes her username and password on the board.
Yeah.
Still wouldn't work. So she leaves the classroom. Mm. The girl who's pranking her friends goes, let's log in on her one and see if it works. Logs in. It does work.
Yeah.
They start then like messing around with things like, you know, changing their grades, and then they were like, let's change the power so the lights would dim, and then they're like, press this, the school bell would go off, and they were like,
they're cool.
Like, oh my god, this is legit. She walks back in and she's like, still not working. So she's like, oh, I'll log into the national one. Okay. So then she does her username, password, walks out again. We get the girl to go, look, guys, let's log in again to this one. And they're all kind of like, no, 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 no. And she's like, let's do it. So they do it. And then they start pressing more buttons. Press this button, magical button, very big on the screen. It says Australia-wide internet. They click it and it goes, bang, internet down. It says internet down on every computer and on the big screen. Teacher walks back in. She's like, what have you done? Starts to freak out.
Oh,
then we
no.
get three real teachers to walk in.
That's so good.
And they're like, hey, is your internet not working? And they're like, yeah, no, it's not working. It's not working. So then we get a third real teacher to walk in. She's on the phone and she's like, you guys might want to turn the TV on. Now, we pre-recorded the day before.
No.
A helicopter hovering out the front of their school with an ABC reporter. And she's like, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the internet has gone down in Australia and we've traced the source to this great. School here. Meanwhile, there is a helicopter hovering outside the classroom.
Oh, my God.
The chopper lands.
A real chopper.
Real chopper.
Oh, that's great.
Chopper lands. The four kids get called into the principal's office.
Yeah.
The principal, weirdly, Summer Heights High,
yeah.
The principal of that is the principal of this school. She's a real principal.
What?
So she was in on it with us.
That's great.
Calls them into the classroom. By this point, two of the girls are crying and we sort of had to go, it's not as bad as you think, but you guys have all stuffed up. So she's like, look, the internet's gone down. We know it was you guys. And we got the girl in on it to go, it wasn't me, it was them. And the looks on their faces, they're like, oh my God. So she goes, look, it's not as bad as you think, but you're in a lot of trouble. She's like, look, all you need to do, go outside. The media's out there. So we had like...
Tell them what you did.
We had like a scrum of like 20 actors. So then they all walk out there and they're like, you know, once again, two of them are almost crying. And they're like looking real sheepish and they were getting interviewed. And then I was out the front for the grand finale with a SWAT team. Mm. And I was like, come out with your
hands up. No.
By this point, it had gone so well that I could give it away.
Did they believe it?
So
They believed everything.
They believed everything. Oh, so I got them to come out with their hands up, walking high knees down the stairs. And I'm like laughing into this megaphone. And then I was just like, you've been pranked. Did the grand reveal. And yeah,
that
it was mixed
good.
Emotions. The girls were just mortified. They were like, how dare you?
So that's a fun kids prank show.
Yeah.
But would you do one a little bit later on Channel 9 or 10, definitely. 10 obviously, where you know, maybe some gory pranks.
Oh,
like,
you know, best.
Like car accidents,
well, remember,
and random stuff. Like Punked, Ashton Kutcher's show. Like that,
do you remember
that
Surprise,
was next
Surprise?
Level.
That was a great show. Right. There was a great one on Sam Newman where he was in a car out in the middle of the bush and there was all these random stop signs, traffic lights.
Yeah.
So he'd pull up and they would just be red for like 3 minutes. So he was like, no one around. He's like, stuff this. So then he would drive through it. Out of nowhere, a chopper would come and land in front of him. They're like, you just ran a red light. And he's like,
what?
This happened like 4 or 5 times until the point where he was just blowing up. And then, you know, like pranks like that.
Yeah.
Where you're smart.
Adult pranks. They're full on.
But I want to do it where it's got a bit of a twist. You want to do it where you reward like a local hero or someone who's a legend. Say Barry, who runs the soccer club in Perth, right? He's been running it for 60 years and you know, every bit of spare change, he invests back into the soccer club. And I would love to like mess around with him, but then there's a reward for him. So like one day he comes to his beloved soccer club and there's like an excavator there and they're digging up like Aboriginal remains. And he's just like, what are you doing? This is my pride and joy.
Yeah.
And you know, people are like, sorry, mate, it's now in our control. Get out of here. So he thinks he's getting absolutely screwed over, but we're renovating it, you know, and giving him a brand new shed, new fields, new jerseys and whatever. So like there's the good with the bad.
I want to see ghost pranks. I want to see stuff where you tell people that the house is haunted, you know, we're going to take you in there and or they've just heard a rumor that the place is haunted and then all of a sudden just shit starts happening.
Scare tactics. And you like scare tactics.
Scare pranks are my favorite. Like that one, there's a guy who has no legs and he's cut off at the waist and he does this prank where he gets...
Is he the rat?
He gets someone else who is the bottom half of his body and the legs and he puts himself on top of them and he'll like have an accident. It's a video on YouTube. He'll have an accident and pretend to get hit by a car and then he's split in two and people are screaming and then he gets up on his hands and just runs away on his hands. That kind of stuff is awesome.
There's a similar one on that Scare Tactics show where it was a little person. You can't say the M word anymore. The little person.
Shetland people.
Yeah.
I think they'd like to be referred to as.
pony people. A little person, and they were dressed up as a rat, and this guy had like a phobia of rats, and he got locked into a...
With a big rat.
Yeah, a science room, and then all of a sudden this guy came running out, and he's just horrified, like literally clawing at the wall. And it was like, oh, it's people, a bit too far. But
people never come back from their massive phobias when people play pranks on them like that. Like clowns. Like people have this massive fear of clowns. I remember Bree from Big Brother used to freak out all the time whenever there was a clown around. It was actually really serious. And I think she had a problem with little people as well. And when she saw a little person that was a clown, I hired one for a birthday party one year just to get her. And my God, she freaked out big time.
No, got a good behind the scenes story for Prank Patrol.
Yeah, yeah.
We're on the Gold Coast filming, and I won't name the boys, but we were doing this this prank where they were, it was 10 years ago now, enough time. They were looking for dinosaur eggs. And so part of the prank is when we go live with it, we need to get them bored. So when they stumble across, we have these big eggs out there with motors in it. And we just wanted to make them really bored. So I think they were maybe 11 years old. Their voices hadn't broken yet. And they were like, they were chatting along. So we're all in the OB truck with their parents, with the producers, with the directors, everyone. And we're hidden. And we're trying not to make any noise. Anyways, these boys are just digging and they're like, oh, talking about this and talking about that. And then the one that didn't know he was being pranked, the other one knew they were mic'd up. They had microphones in their helmets.
Mm.
And he goes, oi, oi, such and such. Let's just call him Tom. Oi, Tom, on the way home, do you want to get your dad's phone and we'll watch some pornies? And he goes, oh, I don't know, man. And he's just like, shut it down. And he goes, what do you mean you don't know? Let's get your dad's phone and watch some pornies. And he goes, nah, man, I don't think that's a good idea. And he's squirming out of it. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, we always do it. Let's just do it again. And he goes, I don't think it's a good idea. And we were just like, because we're in the OB truck going, the parents are so embarrassed.
Oh,
like,
oh no. God.
So the prank plays out. They find the dinosaur egg. Then I run out. I'm like, you've been pranked. He didn't care about being pranked. He cared about his parents knowing he was watching porn on the mobile phone.
Well, they didn't put that in the show, I bet.
It did not make the cut, but we will find the tapes one day.
Yeah, yeah, stick it up on YouTube. That's awesome. But that's the stuff you love, the stuff that's
not
meant to happen.
Those boys would be now, what, 21, 22. Yeah. That's 21st material for their birthday.
Come on, Channel 10. We want. You had your pilot week. Let's get some prank shows going again. You've got the best prankster in Australia. No, here's the prank man.
This is how TV works nowadays. You have to be a part of the creation. So it's up to me working with the production company and other creatives to bring it to life. Because at the end of the day, as you know as well as I do, nothing gets handed to you on a platter in our industry.
You got to hustle.
You got to work your ass off for it.
If anyone's watching this right now, how do I get that guy's job? How do I get to be a TV host? I mean, you could give them advice right now, and that's probably the best advice you could give is say, you got to hustle. You got to call people. You got to have a plan of attack and how you're messaging people on Instagram and Facebook and letting them know about all the shows that you're making.
Yep.
What advice would you give to someone who's a young up-and-comer who would be in the same position as you when you were first starting out on Nova as that Rock Patrol street guy with dreams of hosting The Loop like you do now?
It's just as you said, and it's like, number one, I got, do you remember a guy called Chris Parsons, Channel 7? He was at Channel 7 at the time and at Nova. He was doing the Great Southeast show. So he had Channel 7 equipment, and I was just always hounding him. I'm like, mate, can I borrow a lapel mic? Because I obviously didn't own one at the time. Because he gave me advice to go, look, make a show reel, and if your show reel is good enough and you send it round, you will get a gig. He goes, I promise you, you'll get a gig or be on people's radars. So for a year there, before I even started auditioning, or before I auditioned for ABC3, I was out there, I'd use my Nova email to go to Dreamworld and film on rides, pretending it's stuff for online. It wasn't. It was just for my show reel. So I'd do like piece to camera and then like cruise off. And I was just clocking up hours. And you just sort of realize that sort of training you at that time. And I'd go out to like, once again, all the festivals and do pieces to camera or vox pops in front of all these drunk punters. But that was me, you know, getting the nerves off and going, getting comfortable in front of a camera. So,
and you get the free tickets to all the venues as well because you got a cameraman with
leverage. You got to leverage, but also you got to be smart. And then you've also got to like, just get better at what you do. And then and work with people. I think the blessing for me was Prank Patrol wasn't actually an ABC show. It was it was made by Active TV, sold to ABC.
Right. So it went worldwide.
Yeah, but I was working with freelancers. So like all the directors, producers, camera guys work on big shows in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they were working with me, I was just learning as much as I could from them. And I was lucky that I was the host because I was in the middle of it just going, oh, so that's how you do this. That's how you do that. And we work with other directors, and I'm like, from working with the Melbourne guys, I was like, you're overshooting it. Like, you know, you don't you only need one or two takes.
Is it hard to stop yourself now from saying things like that when you're watching other people film you and putting together a show and go, maybe you should do it like this? Because I get afraid to tell people if they're a cameraman that framing is completely wrong, or you know, you need to fix that light and get it up a bit higher, because I'm working with a diva. Here we go. I remember poor old Gretel when she was on Big Brother. Like all the, not all of them, but a lot of the cameramen used to whinge and complain about her, because she, and all she'd be doing is saying, like, this lighting is really shit and is making me look like Nosferatu. So they'd change it and like, oh, here we go. But sometimes you just have to.
Yeah, it's a fine line, obviously. And it's, once again, you tippy toe around it. And then when you can, you sort of, you give. Yeah. But then I still work with ones that know, have done, you know, another 20 or 30 years than what I've done. So then you learn from them as well. But it is tough. I know what you're saying there, because you don't want to seem like a diva. But once again, once you clock up enough hours, you know what makes good TV.
Yeah.
You know what you need for a shot. You know when you've got a shot. And then you're like, we're done.
And you just got to be easy to work with. I find I get a lot of work, probably not necessarily always because I'd be the best for the job, but because I'm easygoing, probably cheap as well.
And, oh, come on, mate.
And people like working with you, then they're going to hire you again, you know, just because you do the right thing by them, you show up on time and cross all the T's and dot the I's. But if you're a young kid out there, maybe you don't have to be young, you might be 50, you can be 60, whatever. If you want to make a TV show, all it's going to take is your time. You can shoot it on your iPhone. You get out there and you just keep doing it, and you're only going to get better and just hone your craft.
If you're good enough, you'll get a gig. Yeah. Like is great, no one's going to stop you. And that's why every day I'm trying to keep writing, trying to keep working with other creatives as well. That's the biggest problem in this country. We don't have enough writers. So if you
coming up with good ideas,
coming up with great ideas and then executing them. So I use my Instagram all the time as just testing little ideas that I've got bigger formats to, but I'll put things out there. Sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't. It's kind of like in New York, they've got that comedy cellar where the comedians go in there.
They and try
big,
their
big
stuff.
Time, they try it out and you see what happens. Well, now you can do it with social media.
Yeah, yeah,
you put things out there. And I put up a video the other day and I didn't think it was that funny. And people were loving it. You're like,
where was it?
Really? It was, we were wearing these suits that Kanye wears.
Oh, that was great. I was going to ask you about that. That was hilarious.
Yeah, I just didn't think it was that funny. So I was like, yeah, okay.
Like the film clip.
Yeah, like the film clip. But then we used the version that's PG, which makes no sense at all. And we're running around the office.
Do you follow his Instagram? I remember seeing him a couple of weeks ago, and he was just on his Instagram talking about Kim Kardashian's ex-boyfriends, ex-fiancés, and he was naming them one by one and just telling them, stop talking about my wife. That's my wife you're talking about. I don't care that you had sex with my wife.
I can't find
stop
him.
Stop saying it. He's gone.
He must be off Twitter again. I can't find
him. What are you checking, Instagram?
I'm checking Twitter.
I'll check Instagram. This is an exciting podcast if you're listening to this right now. It's two guys checking social media accounts. People love that shit.
My most watched video on Instagram was just me before I boarded the flight. I knew I was going to do a gag at the end of the flight. I had three planes to get to where we film I'm a Celebrity. And I wanted to do, when I got off the plane, I wanted to touch my foot down and pick it back up. And every time I touched my foot down, I played Toto Africa. So it's like, dan, 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 dan.
That's
so
cool.
I knew I was going to do that. So when I left Sydney Airport, I was like, wait for it. And then on every part of the flight, I was like, wait for it, wait for it. For it in my hotel, I'm gonna stop. I've got to wait for it. Wait. So I was just building up for like 40 seconds, and everyone's like, "What are we waiting for?" And it's like this, dan 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 dan. I made it, and I looked at it, and I was like, "No, I don't think this is funny." I was like, "I don't know if I like this."
Yeah, everyone
put it out there,
it.
And then people were just like, "Oh, it's great." So that's, you just cool. Never know what audience is like.
Yeah, you got some great stuff on there. Sam Mack does a lot of
awesome.
Really funny stuff on.
He was
his
on here
Instagram.
Recently, right?
Just, yeah. Had him a couple of weeks ago. He says to say hi, but he's always doing random stuff like that, and it's so good that you can just put it out there and people like it. They go, "Oh,
yeah."
Got to do more of that kind of stuff.
And what I find actually is the it's hard for people like you and I and Sam that we're used to like polished productions and putting production values in there. But I find with social stuff, the more raw you can make it, the more people like it.
People like it if it's loose. What was it like in South Africa? Did you have fun over there working on I'm a Celebrity?
I had a great time. Because
it's non-stop party for all the crew behind the scenes?
Absolutely not.
Come on!
No, from Thursday to Sunday, they get days off. And definitely we all have a few drinks and have a good time. But no, mate, they work their asses off. And it's really hot over there. It's like an hour and a half drive from this to that to everything else. Mm. And I probably had one of the best gigs there where... Mm. I wasn't shooting so many days in a row, but then I was doing like 22-hour days because then we'd film a little... we were doing like these 2 to 3 minute videos with most of the celebrities before they went into the jungle. So it was called Edge of the Jungle. Mm-hmm. So my whole vibe was I was wearing head to toe linen on linen, and I was in there like beautiful 5-star lodges with them, getting them all pumped up. I'm like, all right, Nolsey, it's your last hour before you go into that horrid jungle. What do you want to do? And he's like, let's have a beer. Let's go do this. Let's go do that.
But that's back again. Are you heading back over?
Yes. Going back over. I might be doing something different this year. So we're just working out
what it is.
Well, no, I know. I know what it is.
They're putting you in the camp, aren't they?
No, hell no. Not, I'm not a celebrity. So I'm not going in the camp.
Yeah, you are, man.
No, I want to toy
you're
with
on,
it. I want
on the TV every week.
I want to mess with the celebrities. That's the best part of it. Yeah, and this year, it's a shorter series. And they're going to make it a lot more, they're going to put a lot more firecrackers in there, because last year they had a lot of stars in there, but they sort of all played it pretty cool. They were too nice. Mm.
I can't remember if it was
would
your...
you go in there?
No.
Why not?
I've already done it.
You've been on there?
Yeah.
What?
I was in the, I was on the test run for the English show that shot at Moolumbar.
Yeah, but you haven't done the actual
one. I haven't done the actual one, but
do you like spiders? Do you like snakes?
I had to put my face in a big bucket of spiders and had them all over my face.
Yeah,
I had to swim in a bucket of leeches, all sorts of messed up stuff. The star challenge, you know, when you got to pull the star out of the box when there's all these little critters in the box?
Yeah, it's hell.
Yeah.
They don't have fun.
I'd do it. Why not? It'd be good fun. But yeah, I think it was your Instagram or might have been one of the other crews, because a lot of the crew who worked on that have worked on shows with me before. And they'd just been swimming in one of the lakes near where you guys are staying. And they swam in the wrong spot. And there were heaps of crocodiles actually in the water where they were staying, where they were swimming. Was that you?
It wasn't me. No, that wasn't me. The famous words of Shaggy.
Is it really dangerous?
Really, everything, like we have to, everything's security checked where we go, because we are in the middle of the wild there. Like, it's not like, oh, there's just a little TV studio here and then it's, you know, nice hotels. It's raw Africa around. And there's like, at night, you cannot walk from some restaurants to your car because you need a guy there with a gun, because if there's a hippo walking around and you get between that and the water, you're cooked. If there's a black mamba on the ground, it's going to chase you. They're like the only snakes in the world that actually aren't scared of you. They'll attack you if you get between them and their babies. So
you're constantly thinking, is something going to kill me today?
It's
or am
scorpions.
I just going to host a show?
It's scorpions. It's baboons. The baboons love females. They go for females.
And meerkats.
The big alpha males.
Meerkats bite you. You know
it's
that.
Just everything. Cheetahs walking around. Cheetahs, but the leopards. The leopards are the ones that they can't keep out with fences. Obviously, there's no lions walking around, because lions, they can fence them in. As in fence the park that we film in. But leopards jump over the fence.
And they're going to eat you.
Well, they're very stealthy, so we're a bit too big for them. But they go for like cats and dogs and other animals. That doesn't mean that they won't attack you. So, yeah, we're all like on high alert the whole time. It's not just like, we're in Africa having a holiday.
And what's it like working with Dr. Chris Brown and Julia Morris?
They're pros, mate.
Good
they
fun.
You know, going into it, I was like, they've got a pretty easy gig. You know, they do an hour of live TV a day, and then they are round the clock working hard. And it's weird because every day, I think it's every second day, they do one of those big challenges, like, you know, on a cliff face or out in the middle of the open somewhere. And they always, I don't know how it works, but they're the hottest days ever. So those two are sweating their asses off. I've got to, like, you know how it works. Got to rehearse, get the safety guys in, check.
Yeah,
bring
the
celebs in, do it with the celebs. And then they go straight from that to doing a live show where they got to do like 2 hours of prep for it, making sure it's all, everything's in place. Then going live on live TV and then do it all again the next day. Do that for 5 days a week.
What do you think you'd miss the most if you're in the camp?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Food. It's all about the food, isn't it? When I did the little test run, man, just getting rice every day and water is all we got to eat because we kept failing the challenges.
Yeah.
Everyone was just getting on each other's nerves, getting hangry, having a go at each other.
It
wasn't fun.
Because that's the point, right? They want to make you so hungry that the littlest things become the biggest things. So if you're in the jungle and you move my socks from there to there, then I'm like, and I'm really hungry. I just have a tantrum.
And there was a brown snake under my bed. You know how you have those...
The Brisbane River.
The Brisbane River is a brown snake. But actually, a brown snake's like the most poisonous snake in the world.
Yep.
And you know how they have those little hammock things that you sleep in I'm a Celebrity? So I was sleeping with mine next to the creek, which was full of mosquitoes. So I was getting bitten all night. And security came in when I was asleep, and I didn't even wake up, and took a brown snake from underneath my bed.
Why did you do it?
Isn't that crazy?
Did you do it for cash, or were you doing it for a challenge?
I just finished a show, and I had a lot of friends who were going to work on that show, and they said, hey, do you want to come be a stand-in for a week? And I thought, well, I'm not doing anything. And then I actually worked on the coming out specials where I did the narration for, like, I think Sid Vicious was in the show. And not Sid Vicious, Johnny Rotten. Sid okay. Vicious isn't alive. Yep. And Johnny...
I don't even know who that is.
No, the Sex Pistols.
Oh, okay, yeah,
come
yeah.
on. I am an anarchist.
You know, keep going.
I want to be anarchy.
Get the guitar.
Destroy. Anyway, so, you know, I was kind of working on the show as well, which was super fun, but it's, oh, man, it's a challenge. So you're an actor as well.
No.
You were on Neighbours.
Yeah, but I'm not.
You played, I looked it up. You played a guy called Derek Meeps.
So, you know, I did
don't
one
episode. Like a Derek Meeps.
You know, I did one episode, and when you read, I was like, oh, I wonder if this character is going to come back. And I look who my character is, Derek Meeps. I'm like, it's a one night only gig. They're not going to read
that. It's not a cool name like Steve Stevens.
Nah,
or...
Derek went on there. He slept with Jodie Gordon and then left. So he was her ex-boyfriend. He was a car salesman from Sydney. So he'd come down from the big city.
Oh.
We caught up in the bar and then he's like, well, should we go back to your place and catch up a little bit more? And she's like, yep. And in the Neighbours style, I walked into the room with my clothes on and then I walked out of the room sometime later buttoning up my shirt.
Oh, so there was no kissing or steamy.
I didn't even get to kiss her.
And
my girlfriend at the time just did a Home and Away episode where she got to kiss Johnny Ruffo. And I was like, I was off that.
Why don't you get to pass someone? So I was like, that's ridiculous.
Why don't I get to kiss anyone?
Haven't they got like a DVD extras for Neighbours
exactly.
where they actually get to see the sex scene or something like
off.
That?
I was just like, whatever, just buttoning up my shirt.
That's a joke.
And then I revealed to her that I had a fiance back up in Sydney. And she's like, what was this? And this is where Derek's catchphrase came in. And he's like, I thought we were just two friends catching up.
God damn it.
And an exit scene. She's like, get out. And that was
How
it.
How dare you?
No, look, I did actually a lot of acting courses. I really like acting. I think I'm pretty bad at it. But I loved learning about it because I interview a lot of actors for my job. So. Yeah.
Because you do the event cinema stuff.
I do event cinema stuff. I do a lot of red carpets. Well, I do it for Hoyts now. They're the competition.
Oh, you jump ship?
Yeah, I did.
Different company.
A few years ago.
Cool. Who's better to work for, Hoyts or events? Hoyts. Must be Hoyts.
Hoyts are amazing.
Free tickets for Hoyts. Let's plug Hoyts as much as we can.
They got the beautiful Lux cinemas. They're amazing. Oh. They're like aeroplane first class seats. Ooh. Yeah.
Better food as well.
Oh, amazing food. They got the little cinnamon donuts at the one at Fox Studios.
Oh.
Yeah. They whip them up in 2 minutes.
So no more acting for you?
No, I would do it. I think I'd love to do, you know, more stuff that's like those Hamish and Andy specials where it's like one-offs. Or if Channel 10 brings up and continues on with Drunk Histories or stuff like that.
How good is that show?
Yeah, it's awesome, right?
They did that for Pilot Week. Are they going to run it again?
Well, they haven't revealed yet what they're going to choose. Our upfronts are coming up in 2 weeks. So I think all will be revealed then. Once again, I work at Channel 10, but they don't tell you anything internally. Like, it's all hush-hush.
I have to say my favorite show that you ever worked on was the World Animal Championships.
Whack.
Whack.
Yeah, it was great.
Animals competing against each other.
Were we co-hosts? We were working together.
I was a host that didn't get seen. I was the voice of many animals on that show.
Thousands of animals.
And the ringleader. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Animal Championships.
You know,
in the right-hand corner.
Such a simple format, but it worked really well. And Aussie kids loved it. And they sold it around the world. They
awesome
sold it around
show.
The Discovery Channel.
Alex Mavridakis, who was the executive producer of Big Brother when I worked on the show, He got me the gig on that. What a legend.
Well, he's the EP of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And that's who we're in developments for another little thing for me for I'm a Celebrity, which once again is his show.
Oh, great. He's smashing it. I talk about him a lot on this
Love
show.
Love Island. Do you watch Love Island?
Yes.
I love that.
I tried to get the voiceover gig for Love Island, but they went with an Irish guy. Damn it.
Yeah, he was good though.
They're like, how good would that be? Like living in Mallorca, in Spain, working on a show, and then a lot of the same people, Alex and everyone else, traveling to Africa.
Well,
working
I love
on a
how
show.
You sell it like that, but then I know a lot of people that worked on it, and they were like, mate, we were so understaffed, and we all worked our asses off.
Working,
but that's why it looked so good, and I thought it was great. That they casted that so well. But yeah, Whack, what a good time. We filmed that up at Channel 9 in Brisbane.
Yeah, that was a cool show.
For ABC.
That was really good. And who was the guys that made that show? They make a lot of movies as well.
Black Lab Media.
The Black Lab guys. Yeah, that was... I mean, most of the time when I did all the voices for that, I recorded them in my bedroom in Los Angeles when I was living there.
Really?
That was one of the only jobs that were keeping me alive. I was getting all the voiceover work. I was back in Australia trying to get work in LA. But the neighbors used to always complain because, and they think that someone was having a fight because I'm doing all these. I'm doing a crazy, like, hi, I'm a zebra. Welcome to World Animal Championships. And then I'd be talking like a donkey, like, making up all these stupid voices. And I'd have to redo them all the time because I'd run out of voices because there were like thousands of animals that they were getting me to do. And then I'd be, okay, I'll try an Indian accent. And they're like, no, you can't do Indian. But I can do American. I can do Deep South. I can do New York, California. You can do English. You can do French, but you can't do any. It was like, so I had to, had a lot of backwards and forwards.
I was going to say, what was your inspiration for a lot of the voices? Where were you walking around one day going, oh, that's a great voice for an ant.
I'd write it down as a guy in a 7-Eleven. I go, oh, he's got a strange voice. He's got a lisp and a high-pitched voice.
I can talk like this. Hello, how are you? Yes.
And they go, oh, don't do the lisp because people who have a lisp might get upset.
Once again, you go into another 7-Eleven, it's a poo, and then you're like, oh, no, I can't do that as well.
I've got another show which I just scored the other day. It's called You're Called What?
You're called what?
You're called what? And it's just all about animals all over the world.
Nice.
It should be fun.
So a voiceover gig?
Yeah. I'm going to be the... It's like character voices as well as like a narrator voice.
Man, this is like your thing at the moment. Yeah. You're just the animal man.
This is the studio. This is where it happens.
What was the BBC one? Walking on the Wild Side, was it? Or like Walking with Animals?
Oh, yeah. Where
Ricky Gervais and it was like, nighttime, daytime. That was great. They're a good show.
But the World Animal Championships, that was cool to work with you, but I never actually
was in the same studio. As in like, because we do all our stuff first, then you came and polished it up at the end. That's how it works, a lot of shows like that. That's when you interview a lot of movie stars and they're on these animations. And you're like, oh, it must have been so great working with Will Ferrell. And they're like, never saw him.
Yeah, and most of the time they set up a microphone at their house.
Yeah.
They record all their bits, say, thank you, see you later, here's a check.
Well, Seacrest does his radio show from his home now.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Kyle Sanderlands doesn't do that.
Yeah, why does he bother going into work? He could just lie in bed.
I think he bounces off all the guys around him, that's why.
Well, Mr. Tweedy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for thank you for scaring me once.
We've scared the poop out of you.
Attempting to scare me twice. Didn't work. You get 2.15 points out of 5, I reckon.
You really?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
You get ranked on Prank Patrol for how well the prank went?
You don't get ranked because they're all meant to be amazing, right?
A prank rank.
A prank rank. Yeah.
Sounds like something else.
2.5 prank ranks. Out of 5. Well done, Mikey.
Thank
Goldman.
You. I appreciate that. I'll be happy with that score. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, good to see you. I'll see you down at a pub, two or three streets from here in Bondi.
Yeah, let's get down there now.
Yeah, to Bucket List.
Is that your favorite Bondi bar?
No, not really.
No?
My favorite's Anchor. I don't mind that. Sunday Roast there.
The Anchor Sunday Roast?
Yeah, they're pretty good. They sold out yesterday by 7 p.m. though, so I'm not very happy with them.
And what about the public bar, Bondi Public Bar?
Not bad. I like that about 11 p.m.
But everything's shut.
That's the problem. Remember White Revolver?
Yeah, well, that used to be Bondi Public Bar. That was cool.
Yeah, because it had that dance floor at the back. It was so dark that it was like Russian roulette. If you're dancing with a girl and then you offer her to get a drink.
Might not be a girl.
You don't know what it is until you get to the bar. And you're like, oh, there it is.
They had these VIP keys that they gave out to everyone to get in there. And there was this secret door that you had to actually unlock to get into White Revolver. You remember that?
No. See, I was never that VIP.
When it first opened, I'm like, oh, I felt really special because I had this key. And I went in and it's like every dickhead from Bondi is in there. Everyone got a freaking key.
But all the roosters, like everyone. It was actually, but Wednesday nights there were the best nights ever.
Let's get out there. Let's hit the locals.
Let's do it.
Good on you, man. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Scott Tweedy, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike Goldman, ladies and gentlemen.